If I think it is permissible to tell a white lie, I soon become colorblind. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. If I think it's permissible to tell a white lie, I soon become colorblind. Yes. How many colorblind people do you know in the world? They feel they can go around telling lies and not be responsible for it. And you say, you're going to get it, you're going to get it. Remember how when we were kids, when somebody would tell a lie or somebody would do something bad, you're going to get it, you're going to get it. You know, mom's going to find out. I'm not going to tell her, but she's going to find out. Dad's going to find out about what you did, you know, and you're going to get it, you're going to get it. Well, you see, when we think it's permissible to tell a white lie, soon all lies are white lies. All lies are white lies. And we get into such a habit of telling them that we are unreliable people to be with, and that people say of us, oh, she always has her own little white lies. She always tells her own little stories. And you were oftentimes saying about me, you say, oh, Herb, he makes those things up. Oh, Herb, he tells us these stories about people doing things, and he makes them up. He makes them up to fit the story that he's telling. Oh, Herb makes it up. Well, if that's what you think, you better go find a new school. You better find a new teacher. Because if I make up the things that I talk about, and they're not truly things that have happened and truly things in my, you say, well, Herb, you got such an imagination. Hey, if you would realize that it's not an imagination, it's an expression of reality, that I'm not limited by somebody else's point of view. I'm not limited by how other people look at it. You say, well, then isn't that a white lie? No. No, that is telling the truth and telling it and standing up for it. Now, we saw Bleep on the video the other night. And in the Bleep, this priest said, yes, we can walk on water. We can walk on water. And we can have, we can actually walk on water. We have that capacity. But our belief that we can walk on water is just a little smear of the truth over a lot of negative ideas that say we can't, over a lot of negative ideas that say we're too heavy, we'll sink in the water, we'll do this. Out of all of the physiological ideas, the materialistic ideas about water and about weight and about things like that and viscosity, it just cannot be. And yet, it happens all the time. Yet it happens all the time. Now, we say, oh, sure, Jesus Christ did it, you know, 2,000 years ago, but he was very special, and how do we know he really did it, you know? Perhaps he didn't do it either. And we always want to deny those things that are difficult for us to appreciate. Now, you say, well, what has this got to do with the little white lie? Well, you see, the little white lie says that you are not the creator of your world. The little white lie says that you are not in charge of everything that goes on in your life. The little white lie says that you are not the creator of everybody in your world and everything that they do. Well, Herb, you said that we don't change what other people do, that we don't change how other people look at things. If we are masters, all our creation are masters. Yeah. If we are masters, all our creation are masters. That wasn't the particular one I wanted. But try another one here. Here it is. We do not control the thoughts of others. No, that's the one that I wanted. That was from the Quiet Healing Zone. We do not control the thoughts of others. Now, what a little white lie that is. And we do not control the thoughts of others. You want to give me an answer for that?
We are in control of our thoughts, and then everything is in divine order.
What do you want to say?
The answers are me.
That's closer. What do you want to say? We do not control the thoughts of others.
I'm controlling my thoughts.
Yeah, I am. Well, she's closest. You win the $64,000.
Well, I'm your friend.
We do not control the thoughts of others. We are the thoughts of others. We are the thoughts of others. The others are our thoughts. Whatever the others are thinking is what we're thinking. The others have no independent thoughts. They have no... What are you smiling about now? Yeah. The others have no thoughts of their own. They have no thoughts that belong to them. There are no other thoughts. And we do not control the thoughts of others because there are no other thoughts. Now, we have told ourselves this little white lie, and you guys believe it so sincerely. You believe that we don't control the thoughts of others because they have a right to think whatever thoughts they want. They have no rights at all. Don't you know that? The only right on the face of this earth is your right. Your right to be who you are. Now, if you want to be happy, you'll see a happy world. If you want to be sad, you'll see a sad world. If you want to see a world full of trouble, you'll see a world full... If you want to see a war, you'll see a war world, you know. It's whatever you want. Whatever you want. Now, the difficult thing is, if you're going to play the game of teacher, watch out. Because your students are going to come up to you and say, "What's the matter, teacher? Don't you know the answer?" You know? But you see, that is absolutely stupid. Now, does the teacher know the answer? Yes. And does the teacher know that the student's going to ask that question once in a while? If the teacher is an idiot. You see, the teacher who believes that all of her students are geniuses, all of her students are top drawer, her students would never think of asking such a question, you know, "Don't you know the answer, teacher?" You know, her students would never think of because the teacher would never think that her students would think of asking the question. You understand?
Yes.
Now, you see, that is what it is all about. And the little white lie that you and you and you and the world and I have been telling ourselves from the time that we came into human type existence, you know, and the many dimensions that we live, we're playing the same game. We're playing the game that says, "Hey, that's true and that's false. This is right and that's wrong. Hey, that's a fact and that's not a fact. It's a fact that I'm here, you know, and it's not a fact that I'm not here." Well, I'm not here. I'm only here as I create you seeing me. I create you seeing me as a man sitting here teaching you thoughts and ideas. And I don't create myself as a woman sitting here teaching you. I don't create myself as a dog here sitting teaching you. I could. This dear friend of mine, Mary Willett from Minneapolis, sent a story about a dog. The lady had a dog, and the dog, it's a nice dog, it's her dog. The dog always collected treasures and treasures and treasures, you know, his treasures. He put them in a box in the basin, and that was his treasures, his treasure box. Nobody ever touched those treasures. He went down and looked at them occasionally, you know, checked them all over, and then he came back and looked for more treasures. Well, his mistress had cancer and had to go and have mastectomy. And it was quite a serious thing, and it looked like she might not make it. And she was gone, and of course her dog didn't know why she was gone, why she was not there for that period of time. But when she came home, the dog looked at her as she was lying on the couch, you know, kind of weak. And the dog looked at her and looked at her. And then she fell asleep. And the dog treasured this woman so much. He thought this woman was the most wonderful being in the world. He went into the basement and got every one of his treasures and piled them up on top of her while she was sleeping there. You know, all his bones and all his sticks and stones and all his blankets and everything else that he captured and kept in his treasure box. And she woke up and she thought she was smothering. What's going on? You know, after the operation, she was, you know, quite sensitive. And then she woke up. These are all Lucky's treasures. Lucky's her dog. These are all his treasures. He has brought all of his treasures up from the box in the basin and put them on top of her on the couch as she was lying there. And at first she was, you know, ah! And then after, it's, wow! 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 What love! What love! And she and the dog did their walks, did their thing. 12 years later, she was still there. She wasn't supposed to be. She was still there, the dog was still there, and they were still just being wonderful. Now you see, was the dog her teacher? Did the dog say, don't die? Did the, no, no, no! Did the dog say, get well? Did the dog say, don't die? Did the dog say, no? No, no, no. The dog said, you're whole and perfect. I love you. I give you all that I am. You are fantastic. You are glorious. You are wonderful. You see the little white lie that we tell? The little white lie that we tell is the negative. And you see, then we empower the negative, and the negative takes over. Now, we don't want to do that. We want to empower the positive and get rid of those little white lies that we've had for so long. Because we look at our children and they lie to us about something. And we say, you're lying. Well, dum, 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 dum. Don't say that. Look at the kid and say, now, what is it you wanted to say? You know, how did you want to tell me about that situation? What did the situation mean to you? Do you feel that you could have handled it a little differently? You know, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to judge you. Mama not judging her kid. What a wonderful world that would be, you know. And so instead of saying, you're a liar, you're always lying, you're always telling the false things, you're always, you know, you don't know black from white. And of course, the kid is going to prove you're right. Now, if you look at the child and you say, well, you're always so not honest and truthful, those are words you don't want to use. You're always come up with the perfect answer. You know, you always come up with things that are really what we want to know about, what we want to hear. Like I say, where is the wrench? And you say, well, the last I saw it was when I was playing with it in my sandbox. Well, do you think maybe you could go get it? Yeah, maybe it might be deep. And so he brings the wrench in and it's all rusty. And you say, thank you for bringing the wrench in. You damn little kid taking my wrench in the sandbox and getting it rusty. No, you don't say that. You say, thank you for bringing my wrench in. And now let's see if we can clean it up. Or if it's beyond cleaning up because it's so rusty, then you just say, hey, let's just go and buy a new one. And we'll take this and throw it in the trash. That's not a thing that you play within that you don't say that. You have other toys to play in the sandbox with. You know. This belongs on Daddy's workbench or Mama's workbench or wherever, you see. And you see, to teach in the positive frame of reference like that, it takes a lot of attention because it's not the way we've been trained. It's not the way we've been trained. People say, oh, Herb, you can do that so easy. Oh, Herb, you know, you make it sound so easy. Your kid must have been fantastic. Your life must have been fantastic. No, everybody didn't think so. My mother thought I was hyper. My sisters and brothers, they all thought that I was too filled with energy and just going all the time. My neighbors, they all felt the same way. But they all love me to pieces. Because of what?
Have you liked yourself?
I liked me. And I was honest about me. And I didn't try to put on a show for anybody. I was just being me and having fun. Now, they might not have been able to handle it because they weren't that way. But after being around me for a while, they soon learned to be that way, you know. But the point is, you see, these things are with us always. And these are things that I worked with basically always. And people didn't always understand it. They thought I was irresponsible and not taking my duty properly. And yet, when I conducted the Boy Scouts in West Dallas, Wisconsin, and some children's group I had there, every one of those kids came out magical. And when I had the Crippled Children's Society in Merced, California, for a number of years, they kept making me president of the thing all the time. Every child that I worked with, every person that I worked with, positive, positive, positive. And they were just so happy. And of course, I did the work too. But they were so happy, they wanted me again and again. And when my son was ready for the Cub Scouts, and the Cub Scout leader invited me to a session, and then he said, would I take the next session? And he never showed up again. And I became the Cub Master for Corona del Mar, where it was motherless or fatherless families, you know. And these kids were looking for somebody to give them balance in their life. And that's what I did. And in every way, everywhere, kids are just always a great treasure to me, a great privilege. And you can also be misunderstood. And that happens too. But that doesn't change my love for myself or for my creation or for each of you, my little children, or for each of the little children, you know, whoever they be, or even the bigger ones, like Dorothea. She's a bigger child, you know. But they all want to reformat me into their own design. I cut my hair short. Oh, you shouldn't cut your hair. What business is it of yours? Why don't you just look at me and say, Herb, that's interesting, you know? I mean, now what if you cut your hair short? Would I look at you and say, oh, you cut your hair short? And you'd say, well, Herb, it's really none of your business. Or if I'd say, oh, you look just charming with your hair like that, you know? You look just wonderful with your hair like that. And hey, you know, what difference does it make? None. Now, hey, you look different. Why is that, Herb? Well, you cut your arm off. Yeah, that's true. I was in an accident, lost my arm. But you're different. You're strange. And instead of doing that, if I'd say to them, you can do anything, can't you? Even without that arm, you can still do anything. You can still be a master. You can still be a wizard. You see, the little white lie is not saying something which is false. The little white lie might be saying that which is really true. But our point here that says, if I think it's permissible to tell a little white lie, I soon become colorblind. What they mean is that when you tell any type of falsehood, you soon tell bigger ones. I say, anytime you tell what the world might consider a little white lie, and you know to be true, and you don't stand up for it, you got a problem. Now, we had a little boy attending our walk around meal meditations. His father was a medical doctor. And we were out in the middle of the path, maybe about a mile out, and the boy said, Dad, I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty. And the father says, I got to get him water. He's hypoglycemic or whatever the term is for that. And I said, sir, may I talk to your son? And sure, go ahead, you know. And I said, boy, you know, your body is 99% water, and you have more water than you know what to do with in your body. And you just think you don't have water because your mouth's a little dry. So moisten it. And realize you're moistening it from this 90% reserve, 99% reserve water within you. And I said, you're totally in charge of yourself. And I went on explaining that to him. Well, by the time I got done talking to him, I had a group of maybe 20, 30 people there. And by the time I got done talking to him, everybody was salivating. You know what salivating means?
Yes.
Yum, 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 yum. It's like you have a mint in your mouth, you know, and your mouth's all moist. And we finished the path, and I finished the lecture on meal meditation's path 2 hours later. And we got back to the house, and the man said to his son, do you want to go get a drink? No, why? You know, no, why? Now, the medical doctor dad took the symptoms and gave the symptoms a condition, and the boy went along with it. because that's my dad, and he's a doctor, and he's all that stuff. He knows what he's talking about. But then they talk to a crazy man like me, who say, "Hey, your body is 99% water, and you know, start utilizing that water within yourself, you know, enjoying it." And well, now, was that a lie that I said to him?
No, the truth.
It was a lie because he didn't know it or believe it. He didn't think his body was 99% water. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
That's the lie. And then I told him what his body was. Now, did his father know that? Sure. He could have told him too. But he went by the symptoms. And so, you see, the boy was able to dispense with another lie. The lie that he was hypoglycemic, you know. And those are silly, silly things that we do to ourselves. But we must be careful. If we tell little white lies and we don't stand up for them 100%, then we will soon be colorblind and we'll be making bigger lies. But when you say, "I like me," and you're a naughty boy, and you stand up for "I like me," the world will know, and you will know, and that's all that matters. If you say, "I'm not hungry," and you were hungry just a moment before, "I'm not hungry, I feel just fine," you know, and you stand up for it, you won't be. Now, if I say to you, "You're hungry? Oh, you're hungry? Oh, you're so hungry, you have to eat something you haven't eaten for a whole morning, you know, you're hungry. Well, I have some doggy do over here. Now, would you like that?" "Yes, what are you talking about?" "You know, I'm not hungry anymore." You know? And you see, they're all emotional things, more than we give them credit for, but they are. So, pay attention to yourself and enjoy yourself and know how wonderful you are, because you are wonderful. And so it is, and so it will always be. And I love you. I love you.
Love you.
I love you.
Love you.